W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. The Iran deal, 2015, reawakened by the Biden administration. However, the endless negotiations are non-transparent. We get very few hard details, and we have this. Tehran demands, reports Axios, the IAEA probes that focus on uranium particles UN investigators found at several Iranian sites be closed ahead of, quote, re-implementation day, end quote, 120 days after a new nuclear deal is signed. That's a lot of terms going in different directions. So we welcome our guide on this confusion, Ilan Berman. He is the senior vice president of the American Foreign Policy Council and the man to lead us through this chattering about re-implementation day. Somehow that doesn't roll off the tongue. Good evening to you, Ilan. What IAEA?
Hi, John.
What IAEA investigation? And how do you close an investigation that found uranium evidence by investigators? How do you close that? Good evening to you.
Hey, good evening. This is a fantastic question. I will do my best to navigate this because it requires quite a lot of mental gymnastics. But as I understand it, this is driven by two things. First of all, on the part of the Iranians, there's this false righteous indignation because they're saying, after all, a dozen or so years ago, the Supreme Leader issued a fatwa saying that Iran will never develop nuclear weapons. So why are you, the West, even looking in the first place? What, you don't trust us? And so, you know, there's that line of questioning that's coming out of Tehran. And the second line is that the IAEA, the probe, as the IAEA Director General has mentioned multiple times in public statements and public testimony, they've actually found some there. They found uranium particles that can't be accounted for on the part of Iran's civilian nuclear program. And so there's questions to be raised. But for the Iranians, who are tantalizingly close to a reimposition of the 2015 JCPOA with what is, if anything, more lavish economic concessions on the part of the United States, the Iranians really don't want to upset the apple cart. And they're afraid that the IAEA probe, if it continues, will do that.
But is there any road for compliance on their part on this without an admission that they have violated all the understandings and all the agreements? Will they look to make a quiet deal that everybody just lets it go and then the rest of the deal can move ahead? Because it seems they know America is hell-bent on it. Europeans are more than hell-bent on it. And the benefits for them are so outrageous. And if you could assess that as well, that, you know, all the leaders will get off, the even if the IGC is not taken off, but their companies will be.
That's right. And there's a, so let me start with that back end first, because I think it's necessary to talk about what's actually in the deal. And the answer is, and this is precisely the question that I've been asking to friends of mine in Congress over the last couple of days, what is exactly in the deal? And the consensus answer that comes back is, we don't know. What you're seeing in the press, all of the speculation surrounding what the deal actually contains, is coming from leaked versions of the Iranian draft of the deal that has been leaked to the press, in particular the European press. Congress really doesn't have eyes on the prize. Congress does not know what the Biden administration is negotiating. And so if there was ever a time for some sort of accountability hearing on Capitol Hill, now would be it. As we approach this deal, the Congress really needs to know, as the implementer, as the veteran guarantor, Congress needs to know what's in it. My sense is there probably is a way to thread the needle. If you look at the experience of the 2015 nuclear deal, the original nuclear deal, the Iranians initially balked at any sort of IAEA oversight of their nuclear program. And the compromise that was struck was a very restrictive inspection regime. not restrictive for the Iranians, but restrictive for what the West could actually see. Advance notification. There were certain sites that were off limit ipso facto. And my sense is this is probably, if the Iranians have to strike a compromise, this is where we're heading again, where the Iranians say, yeah, you can see part of the elephant, but you really can't see the whole elephant.
I read from further in the Axios report that the presentation by the U.S. side is that there will be a period, a time period. They mentioned 4 months between the signing of the deal, which will get much attention, and this re-implementation day. What's supposed to happen in those 4 months that makes this deal credible?
Well, I think it's that the world will lose interest because the end result here is there's going to be a lot of hue and cry over this deal. There's going to be a lot of speculation about its parameters. But where the rubber meets the road is really when Iran is forced to start complying with stringent terms, terms that are more stringent than it wants to. And by delaying Iranian compliance, it amplifies, it expands the possibility that the international community's attention is diverted and their feet are going to be held to the fire less, or at least less consistently.
Now, what happens if in those stages, if Iran violates the deal? Do we go back to square one? Does the whole negotiations fall apart? Do they finally realize that Iran is playing us? And on the other hand, if they do the deal, how will this impact Russia's black market sales through Iran, the market for their oil and economy?
Right. Well, so my sense is that we don't go back to square one because, look, past is prologue. We saw this exact thing happen in the aftermath of the passage of the original 2015 deal, where we found that Iran was inching out of the deal. It wasn't breaking out of the deal, but there were enough violations that members of Congress and policymakers would talk about the idea of snapback, of reimposition of sanctions, if only Iran did something a little bit more egregious. And the Iranians continued to inch out, and snapback never happened, in part because European officials were very leery of the idea of reimposing a comprehensive sanctions regime on Iran. And so my sense is that history is about to repeat itself, where there's so much diplomatic clout, there's so much investiture on the part of the Biden administration, but also on the part of its European partners, that my sense is that there's really not going to be a return to square one.
Elon, where is Russia in this negotiation? I'm told that they have a vivid presence and are critical to the deal going forward, even that the U.S. is dealing with Iran with Russia either in the room or informed. So what is the advantage for Russia here?
Well, I think the advantage for Russia here is that suddenly Moscow has found out that the shoe's on the other foot. Because, look, historically, the Russians and the Iranians have had a very robust strategic partnership. But unquestionably, the Iranians have been the junior partner and Russia's been the senior partner. It's been Russia that's been carrying Iran's water at multilateral fora like the United Nations. Now, all of a sudden, since February, the script has been flipped. And Russia is under pretty onerous Western sanctions, and those sanctions are expanding, while the West is trying to reengage with Iran. And as a result, Russia and Iran are drawing closer. Iran is giving Russia a masterclass in sanctions evasion and building what the Iranians call an economy of resistance. It's also providing it with military hardware like unmanned aerial vehicles. And this is a good deal for the Russians. It's something that creates resiliency for the Russians so they can continue to prosecute their campaign. So for sure, the Russians are very invested in the JCPOA being revived.
Economy. Do you think there's any...
Malcolm, I love economy of resistance. Isn't that clever?
Yeah. Well, they've been doing it. And remember, Nasrallah used that term about Lebanon also. I'm wondering whether you think that in the course of the follow-up to these steps, does Iran get the message about their terrorist activities? Do the attacks in Syria in recent days send any signal? Or will we see, as in the past and the usual pattern, that Iran will continue, they will apply the billions of dollars that they're going to be getting, $100 billion, $1 trillion over a decade, to support the Hamas, Hezbollah, Houthis, all of their various activities in South America and around the world?
Well, so, I mean, to me, that's the $64,000 question. Because if the future is anything like the past, you're going to see the fact that the money is fungible and the sanctions relief is fungible, and a return to the nuclear deal really empowers Iran's worst impulses in precisely that theater. But the adversary also gets a vote. And in this case, the adversary is Israel and the adversary is the United States. And so what we do and what our partners do now to push back and to roll up Iranian threat networks, sub-state threat networks, is crucial. Because to the extent, I mean, the Iranians already know that on the nuclear file, they have pretty much carte blanche. They have to do something really egregious to get people like Tony Blinken and Rob Malley to walk away from the table. And they're smart enough not to do something egregious enough for that to happen. But on these other fronts, we can plant a flag in a very real sense. And you know, the Israelis are doing that, and we're doing that in places like Iraq and Syria, that shows that, you know, Iran's malign activities on a sub-state level are not going to be tolerated, or at least will be tolerated less. And frankly, that, I think that's a very good message to send.
I remember an earlier conversation, and I'm sorry I can't quote it, but I can say that it seemed to indicate that Iran was seeking guarantees that whatever is implemented will last beyond the Biden administration. Is that still in the conversation?
So I think that depends on what text, what version of the deal you believe is operative. It certainly seems to be that the Iranian negotiators and the European negotiators, because let's remember, Americans are not in the room, right? We're in the next room. We're sort of listening in to these conversations. These are proximity talks. But it certainly seems that what the Iranians are angling for is a what they call inherent guarantees, guarantees that even if there is a new future U.S. administration that is more stern, that wants to walk back the deal, they get to retain certain critical nuclear technologies and retain them in country, maybe under Russian oversight, which, of course, is no oversight at all, that would allow them for a quick breakout capability. Effectively, that if this new second bite at the apple goes away, they'll still be qualitatively in a better position in terms of nuclear technology and nuclear development than they were before.
Ilan Berman, Senior Vice President, American Foreign Policy Council, Malcolm Hoenlein. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.